This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest, Wesley Spurlock, a producer from the Texas Panhandle. We'll hear from him in just a moment. First off, Representative Angie Craig from Minnesota, chairing a House Ag Committee hearing.
One of my goals for today's hearing is to highlight the strength of rural communities across America and to dig deeper on rural communities like those in Minnesota's 2nd Congressional District. We can take advantage of opportunities that Congress has provided in the 2018 Farm Bill and subsequent legislation. One aspect of today's discussion, and an integral part of the work of the Rural Development Team at USDA, is that Americans should be able to choose where they want to live without having to make concessions on access to fast and reliable broadband internet, clean water, and affordable health care.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Wesley Spurlock. Wesley's a producer from the Texas Panhandle, diversified producer, but we most often recognize you as a corn grower. When we look at your operation, though, we'll find corn and what else?
Cotton, cattle, alfalfa, a little bit of wheat, a little triticale. So several different items across the board.
And I think that's a great place to start because it just highlights the need for diversification, especially for producers on the High Plains or the Southern High Plains, right?
That's right. I mean, we don't do a lot of dry land. We're irrigated farms, but you've got to find the best thing, the best crop mix that works for how much irrigation water you have to raise these different circles. And we've got half mile circles and the quarter mile circles. So we'll have multiple crops in each circle, and it's to fit our water and the timing of water needed through the year.
So Wesley, I'm kind of curious here too. Does some of the rotation, maybe not so much in the past, but with some of the input prices creeping up, especially the fertilizer, do you have to factor that in now as you start looking at what you might be rotating in and out of a field?
I think you do have to look and know what you've got and what you can afford to do, because when anhydrous prices in the $1,400 range and maybe higher in the Texas Panhandle, or our liquid fertilizers and phosphoruses and nitrogens, everything is just so 3 times higher than probably last year, and some's a little higher than that. So you've really got to watch and know what you're at, and what your history of the fields is about as important as anything. And our farm, we've been using putting out 10 to 15 tons of manure for several years on different farms, and we'll do it a couple of years, and then we wait 3 or 4 and do it again. And we've built up our fertilizers. And so for us looking at it, we're looking at making sure we continue to do our soil sample analysis that we have done every year, where we, in crop, we do 2 soil samples and then 3 tissue samples. And our liquid fertilizer we put on from there. But it may be the year that you kind of mine some of what you've put down in years past and hope your soils are strong enough to do it and get you yield somewhere close, but still be in a profitable position.
Well, in 2022, if we've been living under a rock, some might not know that we're facing some extreme challenges. Input prices are just one of those challenges we're facing. But really, when you go west of the Mississippi, we're talking about drought for many of the regions across there. Is that a concern?
It really is. I mean, we remember coming out of 2010 with this great year, and we had on our farm, we had close to 30 inches of rainfall. And early September, it kind of quit raining and thought, oh, that's going to make for great harvest, or if it doesn't rain too much, we'll be able to get harvest without mud. Well, we didn't realize it wasn't going to rain for 3 years. And so we went into this drought. We've come out of it doing great, but this has happened again. It was September when our last measurable precipitation was. And I was on a conference call about a week and a half ago, and it's with Burlington Northern Santa Fe's Ag Rail Council. And there's farmers from Montana, the Dakotas, Nebraska, Kansas, Texas. I'm the Texas deal. It's got representatives from National Wheat Growers Association, National Grain Sorghum, National Corn, and American Soybean. So it's got all these different people, and from Montana all the way to through the middle of Texas is dry. I was amazed to just hear each one of them talk about it and where it was at. And so our entire High Plains area is in a drought, and that's a tough one because we know we've got to have rain, even with good irrigation water or laying your best plans to make your irrigation go as far as it can. You still need Mother Nature to help you and get there, or to get be profitable and get the yields we need.
You know, we started 2021, quite a few areas with very dry conditions, and then Mother Nature provided some good timely rainfalls. Again, for certain areas, not every place across 2021. So there is that hope. If we do make a bountiful crop this year, another challenge we're dealing with is the ability to get that where it needs to go, i.e. supply chain. Is that something you're watching as well?
Yes, the supply chain has really been it's a major problem. And when we look at probably just to get this year done, we've got supply chain problems on the chemical side as to where, if we will get these chemicals in, and will they be here timely enough, or are we going to be short? Because a lot of the farm chemicals, the insecticides, herbicides, fungicides, their prices have exploded also and gone up dramatically. And then once you get them, if you're going to export with the foreign ownership of these ships and these containers, they're leaving the U.S. empty. So we're not getting to put the as much cotton in them, or corn, or the grain sorghum going out. It's the food, all the food values that leave and go in containers. They're leaving without this. So that creates a major problem, like what you're talking about, is on the marketing side of it. How do we get some of these specialty crops out of the U.S. and get them where they need to be when we don't have control of the container or the shipping of the containers?
You mentioned earlier the opportunity to talk with growers across a good portion of the U.S., Montana down through central Texas. I just wonder if some of what we've been talking about will also be a topic at the 2022 Commodity Classic, which is kicking off in New Orleans.
I think it really be. That's where I'm at and visiting with you this evening. And it's been the start of Classic is going to be really nice, because we had it in San Antonio 2 years ago. Then COVID came in and we were not able to even have. So there wasn't even a Classic last year. It really was strange not to go to Classic and see all of the people that you know from these different areas and all these commodity groups and the leadership of them and being with them. So for this year to be able to come to New Orleans and be able to sit down and visit with these people face to face again and see their smiles and their get their knowledge and their bull on both sides. But it's to be here in person is just, it's really a wonderful deal to get back, because we're all more gregarious than we think. And to be alone and out on those farms, it's not, you need everybody else to kind of help you get through the tough times. And so with all of these different people here, you hear lots of stories, and Classic looks like it's going to be a big and good one and healthy. So we've got lots of stuff. The trade show will open, I think, Thursday. And so right now I just came out of the state caucuses, where you're working on the politics and policy problems that each of the states have. So every state has their own caucus to kind of work through it, which they'll take some of that information to, on ours, it goes to Corn Congress, and we'll have that meeting, and we'll start that tomorrow morning. and have a half a day of Corn Congress and then start the next level of business. But Classic is really a neat event to go to. And if you haven't ever been to it, it's one to put on your bucket list, you might say, and you need to come. And once you do go once, you will go, you'll come back to them as they have the next year. It's in Orlando. So, but in New Orleans this year, we'll enjoy it and work with it. And it's a great place to be.
Well, and I know that you speak from the experience on the side of being able to plan this and put it together. You know how much work goes into it. But I thought here with about a minute left, as we close up, obviously we've hit some challenges in there for the industry, especially the corn industry. But is there some positive? Is there maybe some silver linings in there when we look at demand and export demand and prices?
I think our markets are giving us, even though as volatile as they are and they bounce up and they've got really, all of them have got our corn, wheat, everything, soybeans that got hit $16, corn in the $7 range and wheat at $12. I mean, these are great prices. If you can go in and hedge these a little bit and price some stuff out, or even a lot of these elevators and grain buyers are purchasing it, so it gives you the ability to lock in some of these good prices that are here, because they don't always stay very long. And so it's a great opportunity to cover some of this more expensive production cost we've got, and hopefully we can get that, and then we can raise a good crop to enjoy and go into the next year with maybe something a little more stable than what we're looking at this time.
Wesley, it's always great to visit with you. Thanks for your time. Enjoy your time in the Big Easy. And here's for a not only a great, but a profitable 2022.
Thank you, Tony. I do appreciate getting to visit with you and pass this on to your listeners. And have a great one. And hopefully everything here at Classic will come out great. You'll enjoy it as well as us.
Wesley Spurlock's a producer from the Texas Panhandle, is a board member of the Texas Corn Producers on today's Agribusiness Report.
We all want to work quickly and effectively on the farm. Livingston Machinery has the all-in-one machine to make it happen. The MLT 840 telescopic handler from Manitou with a max capacity of 8,800 pounds is the ideal choice for all of your rough terrain farm handling tasks, including feeding, harvesting work, and bulk loading. With a variety of attachments and an impressive 115 horsepower, your to-do list never dwindled so fast. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer healthcare benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative healthcare solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Wesley Spurlock, producer from the Texas Panhandle.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
It's the Agribusiness Report. You can keep up with what's happening with Texas corn producers online at texascorn.org.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate Digital Agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
It's that time of year you've been waiting for. Commodity Classic is back. March 10th through 12th in New Orleans. Join the Sorghum Checkoff for a learning center session, Finding the Sweet Spot, combining precision agriculture and conservation to build a sustainable and diverse farming landscape. Don't miss this cross-commodity, cross-sectoral collaboration with Pheasants and Quail Forever and Cotton Incorporated. Register online at CommodityClassic.com or listen to it live here. Sorghum, the smart choice.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Drought continues to intensify in winter wheat growing areas as the crop moves into an important phase of development. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
We see terrible winter wheat conditions in states like Oklahoma and Texas. The crop already starting to head out in Texas, so it's showtime for the crop there. It needs moisture. But as of March 1st, we see 73% of the U.S. winter wheat production area considered to be in drought, and that is up from 32% at the beginning of the planting season back in September.
Rippey, however, notes better news for spring wheat areas in drought coverage as planting season approaches.
In the northern part of the plains, we've seen significant improvement in the drought this winter in places like central and eastern North Dakota. And as a result, spring wheat, only 41% of that spring wheat production area considered to be in drought at this time. That is down from 99% in the middle of the 2021 growing season.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.